things anymore, many are talking about them and lying. Trump keeps saying they're so high and they're going even higher. And he'll use numbers a little bit less now that gas prices are down. The other thing is, over the last few days, they've actually started to tick back up. And again, these very same people who have been totally silent on it for weeks now, months, in fact, are now back to talking about the gas prices. It's the same circle. It's worthless. It's really not worth much of our time. They're going to do their routine no matter what's going on with gas prices. I say we just move on and focus on more important things. AT wrote in and asks why. Says Trump's most likely going to run for president again. My question is, why would someone enter a race and expect to win when they know the other side's cheating? If he enters the presidential race, it is a total admission he never believed the race was stolen. Not quite. The logic here is good logic, which is, if Democrats have it all rigged, why would any Republicans even bother to run? Why would any Republicans even bother to vote? Because Democrats are just going to steal it. The way they get around this is they say, if enough of us vote, it will overwhelm the voter fraud. And so we can still win, even though there will be some fraud. That's how they kind of close the illogical loop of logic that they've created. They say, yes, there's going to be fraud. It's rigged. They're cheating. But if we have a big enough margin, we'll end up winning by a little bit after all of their cheating is accounted for. I know it doesn't make any sense. It's completely wacky. But that's their argument. That's what they claim. info@davidpakman.com. Get your questions in, comments, requests for corrections. I'm glad to entertain, and even a little bit of trolling. Not too much, but a little bit of trolling. We have a great bonus show for you today. Sign up at joinpakman.com. You'll get instant access, instant. And then if you are not part of that group, we'll be back Monday with a new show.
Chief Kilgo is the co-founder and leader of the Blackbirds. He will be in Pittsburgh from September 16th through the 18th for the International Jazz Festival, along with Donald Byrd III. They're speaking on a panel about the legacy of Donald Byrd. The Blackbirds started off in Washington, D.C., and their first album was in 1974, and their most current album is in 2012 with Gotta Fly on the Key West Indie Records. 1974, they started off on the Fantasy record label. The following is my interview with Keith. Now, for the first time, Sean Jones, Nate Smith, Brett Williams, Frank Lacey, Gary Bartz, Indira Owens, and some other surprise guests will be taking the stage together for an incredible Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival commissioned tribute to Donald Byrd, who would have turned 90 this year. Stay tuned and enjoy the interview.
I tell you, Keith, it's been a long, long time since I was able to talk to any members of the Blackbirds. And I'm going to start off by saying, or asking you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you recall one of the first times that you guys played in Pittsburgh and you played in the Cathedral of Learning? It was like a big hall in the tallest building on campus.
And that was at the University of what, Pittsburgh?
University of Pittsburgh.
Probably, but it was a while back.
Yeah, that was back in like maybe like 1974, 75, somewhere around in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I first met you guys. But I always was familiar with Dr. Byrd because he was good friends of Dr. Davis.
Nate Davis.
Dr. Nathan Davis, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been friends for a while. But let's go over some of the past histories because some of our listeners may not know. How did the Blackbirds first get together?
Well, I mean, basically we were all students. Well, I wasn't, but we were all students kind of at Howard University.
Uh-huh.
Donald had already had a band. It had Billy Hopper, Joe Chambers, Roland Wilson, Kevin and Barney, and I don't know if Alan had come in and yet, Alan Barnes is as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much he had recorded a record called Ethiopian Nights. And it, you know, he was leaning towards a commercial piece. So mm-hmm. then from my understanding, the Mizells had been hired by Blue Note Records to produce Lee Morgan, and Lee Morgan got killed, and they had done all the records, they had done all the tracks and everything for it, and they needed somebody to fill in the spot for that, so that ended up being Donald Byrd, which of course he's a master soloist. So from there he wanted to kind of move in the direction of producer and form a group of all Howard University students, much in the likes of Jimmy Lunsford, who had the collegiates from Alabama State. But, you know, it didn't quite, for Lunsford, it didn't quite turn out like that. So we came up, you know, he came up with this idea to record us. We went out to Berkeley, California. We recorded, God knows, out of however many something, tracks or whatever it was. Which of them, of those, I sang the first hit off of that record called Do It Fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting in the car, signing this ungodly contract, and we were trying to come up with names, and we said Blackbird, Blackbirds. Oh, the Blackbirds. Wow, cool. Blackbirds, that sounds good. And thusly, it was born. Of course, there was a whole lot to it more than that, but that's the nutshell of it. And so once we got back from Berkeley, California, we had recorded our first album called Simply Blackbirds. Crows in the Field by Vincent van Gogh was the cover. Do It Fluid Hot Fun Today, Funky Junkie, Regions, Lifestyles, and I can't remember everything else on there. But that was our first record. We sold 125,000 copies in the first week of that, and that pretty much launched the Blackbirds.
Yeah, I know that college radio really jumped on it back then, especially like on the black college campus, because we were definitely playing that in the parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and people were really getting into it. And at that time, or they were calling like, what, crossover, or, you know, back then, but a lot of people like Donald Byrd and Miles Davis were trying to bring a more younger audience into the jazz vein. And they were using some of the music to like fuse that and bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember a lot of those different records or different artists were like working toward that, you know, in various ways. Even a younger Gary Bartz back then was starting to do that. But I know the Mizell brothers had an extensive history, like writing for people at Motown and stuff like that. Work with Marvin Gaye and folks, you know.
Yeah, well, that was Fonts Mizell. Larry was still at Howard.
Okay.
And Fonts wrote with a group called The Corporation with Freddie Perren, and I forgot who else was in there, but it was a bunch of writers in that guild, and they wrote ABC, I Want You Back, and all those things for the Jacksons.
Yeah.
And so basically, Fonts ended up being Donald Byrd's trumpet student.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he met Larry, you know, who was at Howard. So really, we have a connection from the Jacksons to the Blackbirds, because basically their producers ended up producing our records and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you know, there's like a not that much separation in the music industry, and especially when you look at things like that back then, how everybody was like working with each other and everybody knew each other.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a collaboration where the musicians were all trying to make money, because right. jazz, straight ahead jazz, was not making any money for real. And mm-hmm. and the piece was that what really happened to jazz is that they took the dance out of it, because of early jazz and big band was all dance music.
Right.
And as soon as you take the dance out of it, there go the young people. Goodbye, you. Okay.
Yeah.
So once they took the beat out, the young people had to let it go. So it wasn't until they started realizing that the audiences were going to be a lot larger, the money was going to be a lot more, when you had people dancing and jamming to the beat. And I was talking about this earlier, that most people don't recognize it or realize it, or musicians or even patrons, is that John Coltrane created the vamp, the long groove. Okay, well, you can solo till the cows come home. And that's the same concept as James Brown, and it's the same concept of gospel music. There's long grooves, and John Coltrane was the Love Supremes and all them long grooves. That's what that came from. And so, though it wasn't necessarily dance music in its, you know, in a way that you would say dance music is, hand dancing, it that the don't boot to go to boost. I mean, that groove, once that groove got you, baby, that groove got you. And the concept of that was John Coltrane. And so it just permeated over into to the music, you know, and then you the Grover Watsons, the Donald Byrds, the Herbie Hancocks, because that brought the dance back to the music. And to me, that's what Do It Fluid and all the music that the Blackbirds created was about, was dancing.
How has the legacy of Donald Byrd affected you?
Well, I mean, Donald Byrd's focus was education. That's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
I've been teaching for 35 years. I have a nonprofit organization called Arts for Kids. I have partnered with his son, Toussaint, the Byrd III. He has the Donald Byrd Cultural Foundation. We are about getting young children from urbanized communities, and not just that, just young people who want an opportunity to succeed and make music a career, not a hobby. Mm-hmm. And also understand the intricacies of how to make that do what it do. For instance, even through I've graduated probably, God knows how many kids by now, but in the last 5 years or 6 years, I've got a kid that's in Yale that's playing in the band. My two students that graduated last year are in choir and marching band, making that scholarship money so that they can go on with careers in this business, in this field. It's much like my concept that Donald Byrd, you know, instilled in me. It's much like football. I mean, you know, from the ankle biters all the way up to, you know, high school, all the way through college, all the way to the draft. The same thing with the music. We need to get our kids from that age all the way to the draft, to the music draft, into the industry as producers, as writers, as developers of concepts and art, dance, theater, all those things. We need to educate our kids to be able to be of value. Because if you look at the NFL or the NBA, those kids are 21 years old making $1.4 million or whatever, blah, blah, blah. We need to get our kids in the arts at that same level so that Disney and Google and all the Amazon and all the big companies are recruiting our kids as well into graphic design, into the arts, into artist development, and so many avenues that are available in the world.
Yeah, and as we look at all of that, you know, we look at, well, my parents who were in their 90s, and you know, they didn't have those type of opportunities. Even though my mom and other people, they did take music lessons, a lot of music lessons. They learned a lot of stuff in the church, you know, and they took it from there. But then, because of Jim Crow and other things, those opportunities weren't available to them. Mm-hmm. And few, far, and in between would actually get a chance to, like, come up, you know, like people there in the D.C. area, you know, and then there's people here in the Pittsburgh area. And there's such a connection between both cities where people have played together and come up together through like the Chitlin Circuit and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's such a tight connection, and I'm glad to see that this panel discussion is going to be taking place where you guys are going to be talking about some of those things.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, you know, and the other influence that Byrd had on me is that what good is a gift if you can't give it away? I mean, you know, if he hadn't trained me and taken me out, and because he did stuff with me that he didn't do with everybody else in the band,
mm-hmm.
That's why I got to see so much more of the industry than a lot of the guys, because I was trustworthy, number one. Number two, I knew how to shut up and pay attention, okay, and speak when I was spoken to, not in a derogatory way, but in a way of learning. You know, I remember sitting in the living room of the editor of Time magazine, and we were negotiating something with him, and you know, his kids today had all gone to the baseball park, and they came home with the kids, and I realized I hadn't read a newspaper in 5 years. I didn't know what in the hell was going on in the world. And that one experience alone said, man, you need to get some information in here. You need to know what the heck is going on, not only in the world, but that's going on in your community and right. In your backyard, so that you have an educated conversation with somebody that you don't even know. You don't know these people, but you know enough about what's going on in certain areas that you can hold a conversation. I mean, I was standing there looking like a deer in headlights, you know, because I had no idea what to say or what to do in that environment. And so that's another thing that I learned, that exposure is the key. It's not only teaching you how to do it, it's taking you there so you can see it for yourself.
Right.
That's where the lesson is learned. And many of the lessons that I did learn were not because he told me, it's because of observation. I just had to shut up and sit there and look and pay attention, okay?
Yeah.
And I know that you, and respect that these people know more than you do, or they wouldn't be where they are. So therefore, you're trying to get there or further. The only way to get there is to know where that is to begin with. And that is the key to one of his reasons that he had like 5 master's degrees and all those things that he did.
Was the drums your first instrument?
No, I studied with Roberta Flack. I studied piano with her for 3 years before I started playing the drums.
She's a tremendous artist. I still keep up with a lot of her things, but she's not doing as much. But I know the past couple of years she was doing a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love her.
That was my piano teacher, yes.
Okay. That's that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the current members in the group now?
We have Thad Wilson on trumpet, Marshall Keys on reeds, Harold Barney on keyboards, Charles Wright on guitar, Sean on percussion, and Joe Hall, which is the original member, and myself.
Okay.
And Paul Spires on vocals. Sean Anthony on percussion, Paul Spires on vocals. I had to remember everybody's name.
and everybody, while you're listening, they're going to be performing also during the jazz festival. Now,
next year.
Next year, yeah, sorry, 2023. Right. So are you guys going to, are you doing a more independent recording now? And well, not affiliated with some type of label or anything?
Well, I have our last record was on my label, K West Industries, K West Indie Records, and it's called Gotta Fly.
Right.
And it was Alan Barnes' farewell record. We didn't know at the time. So we're planning on some recording, but we're looking at doing some collaborations with some younger artists and some different things that we've been working on. Some amazing groups like Roots, Questlove. They play all of our music on their live shows. They play Think Twice and Rock Creek Park and all that stuff. So that's interesting. That's great. But you know, collaborating with some young artists, that's one of the things we're looking to do. And then we're also looking to do a Blackbirds Unplugged, where we use acoustic instruments and utilize some of our wonderful ballads that we've written along with the symphony orchestra and choir and stuff.
It should be very interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun. Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, I'm going to look forward to hopefully I can get out to come to the panel discussion.
Okay.
And check you guys out. But I really appreciate you taking some time out today from your busy schedule. I see you there at school and
yeah,
up the school day and everything, and
right.
And it's really appreciate all you do, you know. And it's up to us to move it forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know,
it's
absolutely.
Up to you from what you're doing. It's up to me on my end to keep moving it forward, talking to people like you, and still exposing people to the music at all ages.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, Keith, I really appreciate you taking some time out to talk to us today here in Pittsburgh.
No problem. I can't wait to get to Pittsburgh. I haven't been there in quite a while. One of my good friends who's from Pittsburgh, he's gone now, Tim Ironman and Roy Brooks and so many musicians that I've known over the years. So, and of course, my hero, Art Blakey Buchanan, is from Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? So, that's home base for me as well.
Okay, Keith. Well, thank you. Right. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Ciao.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Real vinyl.
Happy roving cowboy, herding the dark clouds out of the sky, keeping the heavens blue.
Yes, sir, neighbor, it's health and happiness time with the old lovesick blues boy, Hank Williams. All the drifting cowboys are here, too. Yes, Hank's back again with some good news that'll make you mighty glad you tuned in.
Well, I ain't got a dime, just wasting my time. I'm just a happy roving cowboy. Let me sing my song till they call me home to a land beyond the blue.
Yes, neighbor, it's always fair weather when good fellas like this get together to drop in on another little visit with you along about this same time of day. And here is the fella that always makes these programs worthwhile, our old friend, Hank Williams.
Thank you, Grant. Thank you a lot. Welcome, friends and neighbors, to another Health and Happiness show. Hope you're feeling awfully good today. Start off with a little tune of mine that I wrote here a while back. Hope you've heard it. Called Mansion on the Hill. Tonight down here in the valley, I'm lonesome and oh, how I feel. As I sit here alone in my cabin, I can see your mansion on the hill. Do you recall when we parted? The story to me you revealed. You said you could live without love, dear, in your loveless mansion on the hill. From your window, the tree stand so silent and still. I know you're alone with your pride, dear, in your loveless mansion on the hill. Well, friends, right now we want you to listen for just a minute here. We got some mighty good news for you. Be right back with you in a minute.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam! Ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
All right, here we are, ready to go all again. We got another little tune here that we think you might like. We hope so. We like this one an awful lot. I had the pleasure of writing this one, too. Number and title, There'll Be No Teardrops Tonight. I'll pretend I'm free from sorrow, make believe that wrong is right. Your wedding day will be tomorrow, but there'll be no teardrops tonight. Why, oh, why should you desert me? Are you doing this for spite? If you only want to hurt me, then there'll be no teardrops tonight. That you still love me when you wear your veil of white. Though I know you love another, still there'll be no teardrops tonight. Shame, oh shame, what you're doing. Other arms will hold you tight, but you don't care whose life you ruin. So there'll be no teardrops tonight.
Yes, sir. Hey!
Friends, right now, here's another mighty important message we want you to listen to.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code. and to enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
Hey, Pittsburgh, this is Eric Harrison coming to you with a heart full of gratitude on WRCT Pittsburgh. Rock on, Yinzers.
Haircut went up on that one to about $1.50 a pair there, didn't it? Friends, it's hymn time again on the Health and Happiness Show. There's one we hope you'll enjoy. The title of it is The Prodigal Son.
A prodigal son, one strayed from his father, to travel a land of hunger and pain. And now I can see the end of my journey. I'm going to heaven again. I leave you the day to help all your I'll leave you the night to solemnly pray. So try to repent and ask for forgiveness. We'll meet up in heaven someday. Goodbye to this world with all of its sorrow. Goodbye to the field that I used to roam. I'm going away where life is eternal. My shepherd is calling me home from out of the sky. He's coming. Wash all my sins and call me his own. His servants will bring a ring for my finger. And never no more will I roam.
Friends, that clock has done it again. It's come all the way around there and caught up with us. That means we're going to have to leave you for now, but we'll be back. So this is Hank Williams saying, if the good Lord's willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll see you for long. In the meantime, Jerry, let's go see Sally Goodman. Huh?
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you the best music.
reach the audience.
So, if you're outside of our coverage area, remember, you can listen to WRCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
Everyone deserves music, sweet music. Everyone deserves music, sweet music. Seven in the morning, step on the floor, walking through the kitchen and you open the door. Much left in the bottle of juice, because the seeds that you planted never reproduce. Computer's still running, but your mind is cracked, because the plans that you made never came to pass. Now you're recognizing the times is hard when you're trying to take a bite at your ATM card. Everyone deserves music, sweet music. Everyone deserves music, sweet music. At the age of 15 on the drink and drive, no one ever puts him to empathize. Making babies in the backseat on tranquilizers. Papa never was much a rolling stone. See, he just liked to sit and drink alone. Mama always tried to do the best she could. She would work all day and come home to cook. But we all vain, we all strange, we all stained. We all love to just complain, but nobody wants to seem to get along. See, we got shame, we got pain, we got blame. We all a little bit insane. So that's why this song, you know, because everyone deserves music, sweet music. Everyone deserves music, sweet music. Even our worst enemies, Lord, they deserve music, music. And even the quiet ones, why I sing this song, you know, because everyone deserves music, sweet music. Everyone deserves music, sweet music. Even our worst enemies, Lord, they deserve music.
I told you about the swans that they live in the park.
25 and manage to lie. A woman can't survive. They may find.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care. Though you keep on saying you really, really, really love me, do you speak the same words to someone else when I'm not there? Suspicion torments my heart. Suspicion keeps us apart. Suspicion, why torture me? Every time you call me and tell me we should meet tomorrow, I can't help but think that you're meeting someone else tonight. Why should our romance just keep on causing me such sorrow? Why am I so doubtful whenever you are out of sight? Suspicion torments my heart. Suspicion keeps us apart. Suspicion, why torture me? Darling, if you love me, I beg you, wait a little longer. Wait until I drive all these foolish tears right out my mind. How I hope and pray that our love will keep on growing stronger. Maybe I'm suspicious, cause true love is so hard to find. Suspicion torments my heart. Suspicion keeps us apart. Suspicion, why torture me?
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
tubing. That's where the trouble begins. They'll tell you one thing, and they'll tell me another. Before we know what's going on, they'll have spot each other. Don't let it happen to us. I don't want that to happen to us. Say, don't let it happen to us. Help me hold on, keep it together.
You do want me, give me a little sugar. If you don't want me, don't leave me on down. But if you need me, show me that you love me. And when I'm feeling blue and I want you, there's just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl. Oh, yeah. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my darling, to show me that you're mine, girl. All right.
If you do want me, give me a little sweet talk. If you don't want me, don't leave me on, girl. But if you need me, show me that you love me. And when I'm feeling down, wearing a frown, you'll be there when I look around.
Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl. All right. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl. All right. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, to show me that you're mine, girl. Oh, yeah. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my darling, to show me that you're mine, girl. All right. Just give me some kind of sign. Show me that you're mine, girl.
Hi, this is Kenny.
And Amanda Smith from Nashville, Tennessee.
Keep it right here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be
my neighbor.
You feel when you feel so mad you could bite. When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong, and nothing you do seems very right. What do you do? Do you punch a bag? Do you pound some clay or some dough? Do you round up friends for a game of tag? Or